All right, welcome back, everyone. It's From the Pocket with your host Christian and Jake, and it is our divisional round episode.
Oof.
Yeah. Recording this on Wednesday, but man, what a weekend we had, Jake. How are you doing right now, though?
I'm doing all right. I kind of just. It was, you know, the Cowboys not playing in the divisional was very striking for me. But, you know, now that we're in NFC Championship weekend, I'm kind of used to it, you know. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, we don't ever get here. So, no, but I'm doing well. I've been playing a lot of Madden in my off time, a lot of Madden 24 on the PlayStation 5. And, dude, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with it, man. It's just like it goes south so fast. Like I'm like in firm control of a game, and then all of a sudden it's like I gave up 3 touchdowns, and I'm just like, "What happened? Oh my god!" So, yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Well, speaking of a game that got out of hand this past Saturday, the Houston Texans went up to Baltimore in
MNT Bank Stadium, right?
MTM Bank.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Offensively, CJ Stroud didn't play well. 19 for 33, 175 yards. Couldn't really do anything outside of that. One of their first few drives in the first quarter, they got a field goal, tied it up. And the only touchdown they scored in this game was off a punt return. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore gets the win 34-10 there and move on to the AFC Championship in Baltimore now, which, Jake, I don't know if you knew this, but this is the first time the AFC Championship hasn't been played in Kansas City since
2017, 2018.
Do you know the last AFC Championship game that one was?
In 2017?
Yeah, 2017, 2018 season.
That was the Patriots Jaguars.
Yeah, Blake Bortles versus Tom.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, 6 long years. So, Jake, I guess my question is, I guess we'll start with Baltimore. They got the win there. So
yeah, for sure.
What'd you like about this game? Like, Baltimore side of the
Well, in our predictions last week, I picked the Texans.
You did.
But not even because I had so much faith in the Texans. Yeah, for sure.
I was going to be close.
I picked them because I really thought, I was like, you know, it's kind of one of those things, until I see Baltimore do it, I'm kind of just going to assume they're not going to do it. And I've seen Baltimore shoot themselves in the foot in the playoffs in the Lamar Jackson era so much that really the only way the Texans were going to win this game is if the Ravens shot themselves in the foot and lost it for themselves. And, you know, the first half, it sure looked like that might happen. 10-10. Lamar Jackson was really getting sacked a lot and hit a lot at the end of that half. And it really felt like the Texans had kind of figured something out, even though offensively they were pretty underwhelming. CJ Stroud again struggled. It's a tough defense to play. And when you're only throwing it to Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I think it got talked about a bit, but I don't know. I feel like the Kansas City Miami game got talked about a lot, about the weather from, you know, Miami coming from Florida all the way up here. Houston plays in a dome, and I imagine that in Houston. And so I imagine that was a factor, but yeah, they could not get anything going. That defense was just stifling that Texans offense all game.
And I think the biggest compliment for the Ravens was, I mean, obviously 10-10 at halftime. Ravens just obviously adjusted, came out ready to play in the second half. Their defense really played well the whole game. I mean, I don't think their defense went through an adjustment period, but their offense really exploded in that second half.
Yeah. That first touchdown and their first two drives. Actually, their 3 drive.
They came in and did really well. But I think, so you talk about the Ravens kind of, well, where's the weakness of this team? This team has kind of been inconsistent, you could say. I think it's stopping the run. And the Texans have been bad at running the ball. And obviously the Ravens won that matchup. I mean, it just, I was getting so annoyed with the Texans because they would just hand the ball off and it would just do nothing. And I mean, it got to the point where it's just like, you're literally just giving them a free play when you're just running the ball, cause it's not doing anything. They started to change it up a little bit, get some jet sweeps going, get the ball moving around, kind of throw that defense off. But all in all, no, the Ravens, they look they won this game 34-10, you know, and you say like, man, that's kind of a crazy score, but that's what they've been doing all year long.
Yeah.
Against playoff caliber teams.
Yeah. I think they're 7-1 and yeah, they were beating up on everybody. Let's switch sides to the Houston Texans. So what did, what are your thoughts on Houston going and moving forward?
I mean, CJ Stroud is obviously going to be a menace in this league for a long time. The Texans, I think Texans fans, I think overall being in Houston, it feels like the vibe is a positive one, right? I mean, they had an incredible season. They went from bottom of the barrel year after year after year to they won their division in a year that the Jaguars were supposed to win their division.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the worst teams in the league last year. Maybe potentially the worst team if, you know, they don't pull off that miracle play against the Colts last year in the final game of the season where they win for no reason. One and done coaches a couple years in a row, and to go get CJ Stroud, to get Will Anderson, win the division in a year Jacksonville's supposed to win it and run away with it and win a playoff game. I mean, that is an incredible year for them. So obviously, I think the Texans, they reached their limit. This roster is just not that good. You know, it's young in a lot of areas. They need more weapons. The offensive line needs help. You know, Devin Singletary is a nice back, but you're probably going to need to supplement him with somebody else. I think their linebackers are good. I would like to see them get more entrenched on the defensive line, kind of help with Will Anderson. You know, they have Nick Barnett. They have a couple guys there that are probably a little bit over the hill and are more like standing guys. They need probably another couple of players in their secondary. So I really hope to see Houston go out and ball out in free agency this year and just keep plugging those holes. But I mean, I have nothing bad to say about Houston. It was a great season for them. They well overachieved what I think anybody had them doing. I mean, I think Luke was like, I think we can win five or six games this year.
We came into the season for 3-4 wins.
Yeah, I had them at 4 or 5. And obviously they exceeded those expectations. So good for them. Good for CJ Stroud. Love to see the Texans are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the AFC for years to come. Happy all around for them. And no shame in losing to Baltimore. There's a really good chance they're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, no shame in that. I would say, you know, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. It's, you know, Houston's clock starts now. Like, yes, their window.
That's true.
You know, CJ Stroud's on this rookie contract. So you got about two, three years now to, set this up. Their GM, I can't remember his name, but he came from the Patriots. He's been doing a pretty good job evaluating talent at that. So now it's, you got to open your pocketbooks up a little bit, pay some players, hit this draft pretty well. And yeah, you won this division kind of barely trying because, Jacksonville kind of, stumbled and the Colts, lost Anthony Richardson halfway through the year and the Titans were rebuilding. So, no complaints on Houston. You should feel pretty good. You know, sucks that, you get stomped like that in a divisional round playoff game. But, hey, man, there is no shame in that, especially if, like you said, if Baltimore goes on and wins it. All right, the other game on Saturday. To it, please. Jesus Christ. We had the Green Bay Packers going to Santa Clara and playing San Francisco. There it is. A lot closer than expected. I thought people were expecting, this is going to be the same old, Packers team where, you know, they beat the Cowboys in the in whatever round, and then they get to the 49ers and they get stomped. And it didn't happen like this. It was a pretty rainy game. Packers led.
They led for most of the game.
Most of the game in moments, but Brock Purdy struggled here and there. But
got it done when it mattered.
Got it done in the and when it mattered at that in their final drive and within a final minute. Well, Christian McCaffrey finished it off, but Brock did get them down the field. So
a great throw. He had a couple great throws there and a great run. That last drive was really good.
Yeah. Jordan Love had a pretty okay game, 21 for 34, 194 yards, two touchdowns and two interceptions. That last interception, I mean, look, Jordan, we don't need you to do that, but like, I understand why. It's like at the end of the game, like trying to make a play, we're down by three. It was just unfortunate, you know. You can't throw it across your body, especially that late in the game. But overall, though, Green Bay, man, dude, I said it. I mean, I never in doubt, never doubted this team once this year ever. And I think they proved it this year. Like, they have a pretty good roster. Matt LaFleur has proven that. I think he's a pretty solid coach, and they got the goods around them. So they just got to keep building with in the draft, which I think they've done pretty well at. So no complaints there. They did fire their defensive coordinator, so they're going to be looking for a new DC here. Don't know what they're going to do about Jair Alexander. There's been some like
he's probably gone.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, so what do you think?
I mean, I thought the Packers were going to get blown out. You know, I count myself among that. I came in here, I told everybody to bet the 49ers last week, -9. Packers are going to get stomped. I said they had no chance. Even if they, you know, back in the wild card weekend, I was like, look, there's a chance they'll beat the Cowboys. Probably not, but there's a chance they will. There's no possibility they get past the 49ers. And, dude, they almost did. Like, man, almost it felt like
Jordan Love almost righted some wrongs. I
mean, 3.5 quarters. You're sitting for 3.5 out of those 4 quarters. You're like, oh, the Packers are going to win this game. Like, that's really what I thought for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, I was, we had a work thing that night, and I was, you know, they didn't have the game, but they had it, like the stat sheet or whatever, the scoreboard and all that stuff. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, are the Packers going to win this fucking game?
It felt like they were for a lot of it. And, you know, Brock Purdy struggled in this game. Which props to the Packers defense. I think this is some of the best football. They saved their best football for the best time of the year to do it. Mm-hmm. Debo Samuel went out early in this game, and his status is still questionable.
Yeah, about on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a similar shoulder injury that he had earlier in the year that also knocked him out for a few games. So that's a bit of a concern. But you know, this team looks and feels different without Debo for whatever reason. I don't know why, but they really did struggle for a lot of this game to get anything going consistently. And hey, you know, they got it done when the time mattered. They got the job done. Christian McCaffrey obviously capped it off, but Brock Purdy did a lot to set that up. It was a solid performance. I was very sad at that last play by Jordan Love. It was just, it's such a terrible pass. I mean, just across your body, trying to see if this guy's going to clear these two linebackers or corner and linebacker. And
you know they got a good linebacker. Yeah, like, Sam Brown got good linebackers.
And we clearly saw the limit of his arm because he didn't even come close to, like, putting that where it needed to go. So, I don't know. That was so frustrating because it was such an unforced error. It's not even like it was fourth down. Like, they had plenty of time. You know, they had just moved the chain, so like you're in rhythm already on offense, and you just force that play instead of just tucking it and gaining like a couple yards, keeping the play alive. I was pretty disappointed in that. But all in all, you know, the Packers have another quarterback, and if Jordan Love can keep this up, they're gonna keep doing it.
They so, went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and now to Jordan Love. That's wild.
If what we saw from him in these last half of the season is any indication, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. I mean, he was statistically speaking, this last half of the year, he was the best quarterback in football. I mean, so if he picks up where he's left off, that's probably what you're going to expect from him. So good for Packers fans. You know, they were a 9-8 team, got off to a slow start because they obviously were working with a quarterback, and they still don't really have – I know people want to praise their receivers. I'm sorry. Christian Watts, like, I'm not Romeo Doubs.
I like him.
I like him, but, like, you need another guy. Like, you need to go get a bona fide one in the draft.
I do agree with that. I think they need a guy that, will set himself – above the rest. So then, you know, that'll elevate, you know, their team. There was also the receiving group. Like, I think those guys are good, but I do agree. I think they do need that alpha.
You go draft. I mean, it's not going to happen for them because they're picking way too high in the draft. But let's say, like, you get that Marvin Harrison Jr. type of presence or, like, some type of top-tier receiver that can be a one or maybe even go sign a one. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know what free agent receivers there are this year, but if you go do that, you know, Christian Watson can fall into your two. Romeo Doubs can go be your three. Like, you just – I feel like it'll really set their offense up nicely. And it just is another piece that you can add to this young core. And then defensively, you need to find a new defensive coordinator. Obviously, you just fired your guy, and your defense was a liability for most of the year. But they have a lot of talent. Whether or not they're going to sign or get rid of Jaire Alexander, we'll see. But – if you're a Packers fan, you got to feel really good. Like, the Packers should feel like they belong at the top of towards the top of the conference next year with how they play. Like, take away what they did the first half of the year when they were 2-6 on the like the two different teams. Like, this team should feel like it's going to enter into the season next year and it's going to be in the mix with the 49ers, with the Lions. We'll see what's going on with the Cowboys and the Eagles, but, you know, they're going to be, you know, the Rams are going to be there maybe. So, like, they should, you know, the NFC is all of a sudden looking a lot more stacked. Bill Belichick's likely going to go to the Falcons, so maybe they'll be more competitive. We'll see if the Saints can right some wrongs. So, the NFC is going to be stacked, it feels like, going into next year. And the Packers should feel like they are among the upper echelon of that conference. So, as for the 49ers, which I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot more because they are in the NFC Championship, man, dude, they just – I don't know what it is. They lose Deebo Samuel, and this team just looks totally different. I don't know what it is. So,
we'll see how it goes in Detroit – or against Detroit, rather.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our Sunday games. We had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Detroit Lions. Crowd was electric. You know, very good game. Let's start with Tampa Bay. Very good game from Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield reviving his career. What nice story. It happened in Tampa. Like, they weren't expected to win the division. They were expected to suck. They had cap issues coming into this year, so they had to get rid of a lot of players. But, man, shout out to Todd Bowles and that entire staff and all the players, man, to, you know, win the NFC South when nobody believed in you. 9-8, got a playoff game at home, beat the Eagles, This was awesome, and you know, Baker played a pretty good season, and you know, played himself into a contract. I'm pretty sure he's probably gonna not get big money, but he's gonna get paid by Tampa in this offseason. We'll see what they do with Mike Evans and all that stuff, but Tampa, man, didn't see this coming. Sucks that how you know their season ended here, but they fought all year, and you know, I commend that. Shout out to Baker, Lake Travis alumni. He played his heart out, man.
And to me, this is This has got to be the most surprising team, right? Because, like, it's easy to look at the Packers and go, I can't believe the Packers did that. But, like, if you look at what they did the last half of the year, you can kind of see the seeds, you know. Well, if Jordan Love's going to pop off and be really good, like, you could see the Packers achieving that, I guess, in a way. I don't know anybody who thought Tampa Bay was going to do this. And to the point where, like, I mean, it's so surprising. I mean, they started off hot this year, and then they kind of faltered and fell apart and just ended up being in this terrible dog race for this division. Nobody took them seriously. And, you know, everybody's like, well, the NFC South is going to have a team there, and they got it. It's fine. Okay, you got to play the defending NFC champs. Oh, you blow them out. Okay, well, yeah, they've been kind of faltering. Then you go into Detroit, and, dude, they put up a fight. I mean, they had the ball. Baker threw an interception, unfortunately, at the end of the game. But, like, they had the ball down a touchdown. Go score a touchdown. Get the two-point conversion. You're going to go to overtime. And the idea that this team was, like, able to achieve that, I mean, they clearly overachieved from where we thought they were anyway. But then even when we got to the season and saw what they were, I mean, it feels like they exceeded everybody's expectations even then. Like, this is just it's a really cool story coming off of Tom Brady, you know, Todd Bowles. I think a lot of people aren't a huge fan of Todd Bowles, and obviously, you know, three times they've won the division, Todd Bowles, back-to-back champs, just won a playoff game as the Bucs head coach, hooked the Lions to the wire in a lot of ways. I mean, this was a game the whole time, the whole game. Like, it was in question, I guess you can say. Even though the Lions did control most of it, it was still in question in a way. So, yeah, good for the Bucks. Happy for their fan base. Baker's definitely going to be their quarterback next year. It'll be a little easier, I think, for them to maneuver some talent, because this was obviously going to be the down year for them. And if this is the down year and they're able to kind of continue to grow from this, they're going to continue to be a problem. Like, I mean, that's going to be actually a pretty interesting division to watch next year between them, the Saints, the Falcons, and then, you know, who the hell knows what the Panthers are doing. They'll just kind of be there. But, you know, the Saints, like, it feels like the Saints really got Derek Carr, and it was like, oh, this is going to be our division. We're good. We've got the best roster.
We've
got the best quarterback, and now all of a sudden it's like, are the Saints the third best team in this division? Are the Falcons and Bucks better than them? Maybe not the Falcons, but they get, I don't know, they draft a quarterback and get Bill Belichick. I don't know. So good for the Bucks. Happy for them. Happy for Baker. There was definitely conversations that we were having that it looked like Baker might be on the outside of the league looking in. And not only is he not, but he's going to be the starter of a team next year, and a good team.
Right. Moving on to the winners of this game, the Detroit Lions, after not winning a playoff game for 30 years, they'd have messed around and made it to the NFC Championship. So,
yeah,
great game by Derek Goff, 30 for 43, 287 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. They ran the ball well. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 carries, 74 yards, touchdown. Amon Ra St. Brown had a good game. So, yeah, shout out to Detroit, man. We'll see. We'll talk about them when we talk about the NFC Championship game. But they did it, man. That it's crazy. I kept seeing the on Twitter, everybody was making the joke that in this century, or in these decades, these past few decades or whatever, I forget what, the Lions have gone 0-16, but they have still made an NFC Championship game before the Cowboys. They've gone, so I think that's pretty hilarious, but.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I was going to say this stat for years. The stat has been, since the Cowboys last won a Super Bowl, there have been three teams that have not been to a conference championship. And it's the Cowboys, it's Washington, and it's the Lions. And the Lions have now removed themselves from that list. They have gone now to a conference championship. So, yeah, congrats to the Lions.
Congrats, man. Yeah,
it's
been a long time coming.
Been a long time, and you know, this team, it's impressive because like this team didn't come out of nowhere. Like they came
into the year with expectations.
And that is a really hard thing to deal with for especially a team that's had a losing culture like the Lions. Like we've gone into seasons with expectations for the Lions. Like, oh, maybe this is the year the Lions aren't terrible. And then they go 7-10 or 6-10 and we're just like, okay, yeah, well, that was the Lions. Like, would not have been surprised at all if that had been the story here, or if they had just struggled in a way and like 9-8 kind of just eat their way. And it's no, they were a 12-win team, won the division going away, had some quality wins, you know, had some bad losses. Like it happens, you know, they lost the Ravens, but everybody's lost the Ravens, so no shame there. and they've won two playoff games now. They're in the NFC Championship. Like, this was like everybody talked about going into this year, you know, the Lions are among that group that could go to the NFC Championship, and here they are. They did it. They have gotten there. And, you know, it kind of sucks that they got to play the 49ers, because the 49ers are kind of a juggernaut in this conference, but
we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. We're going to get into it. Like, I give them a chance, but it's just a tough draw, you know, in a year where everything kind of lines up for the Lions. It's like, yeah, but now you got to play this team that looks like it's like just really good, especially if Debo actually does play. So we'll talk about it, but yeah, congrats to the Lions. I'm happy for them and their fans. Dan Gamble is what we're calling him, Dan Gamble, because he's a gambling man. He's what he has done is nothing short of just right. It's so impressive. I mean, to have come in, he's year three, on the verge of getting fired halfway through the year last year, to have turned this culture around after everything it's been through and it's been over the years, making questionable draft decisions that, oh, it actually turns out were really good draft decisions. it's just, you know, it's, I feel like you can go on and on. I think I know it's going back to last year, but like, when they got eliminated from the playoffs last year in week 17 or week 18, they got eliminated because the Seahawks had won.
Yeah.
And so at that point it was in the Packers' hands. It's like the Packers are either going to win.
The Packers still needed to win.
Yeah. The Packers are either going to win and they're in, or if they lose, the Seahawks are in. And it is so, so easy for a team to come in knowing you're not in it anymore, to just roll over and be like, whatever. And there was a lot of people, like pro bettors, who were like waiting on that signal. And once the Seahawks won, they were like, okay, the Lions aren't playing for anything. Human nature, not going to get a great effort from them. And they went out there and said, we don't care. And they bullied the Packers up and down that field. And won that game outright and ruined the Packers.
Sent Aaron packing.
And that was, it was hilarious because Aaron Rodgers is walking off the field with Randall Cobb. And it's just, it was hilarious because whatever, that whole, you know, thing. But yeah, no, I really like what the Lions have. I think what they have is a very special team, and it's going to be fun to see them continue building on this going forward because they still have room to grow. You know, their secondary is not great. Brian Branch is obviously a stud.
They lost, what's his name? Gardner
Johnson. Chauncey Gardner. Yeah. Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Yeah. So still a ways to go in development. A lot of young guys on that defense and that offense, but I love what this team is and is doing, and they're obviously going in the right direction, and the Lions should feel really good.
Okay, moving on to our final game of the divisional round weekend. It was a game of the week, and it lived up to the hype. The Kansas City Chiefs took on the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City did get the win, 27-24. Jake, let's start with the Bills side.
Sure.
What did you see from the Bills? Did you think Josh Allen played a good game? And yeah, like, well, what are your, you know, takes on like the Bills moving forward as well?
I mean, I think people are being too hard on Josh Allen. Like,
I thought he
to
played a good game.
I did too. Like, I thought Josh
He
Allen, like,
running the ball.
did he make a mental error at the end of the game, not throwing it under to Stephon Diggs and instead throwing a bad pass in the end zone? Maybe. But like, I thought he played pretty well, all things told. I think it's just unfortunate because it feels like this Bills team is good enough to have gone to a Super Bowl or two.
The
They're
way
just
they were playing the back half of the season, now I know it's weird because they kind of took the ball away from Josh Allen, but I mean that it kind of helps him. But at the same time, you know, at the end of the game, it's like Josh, all we need is a first. You just gotta play, you know, by the first down. You don't need to be chunking it, you know, 40, 50 yards down the field, dog. All we need is a field goal. Like, chill
And you
out,
don't want to
bro.
give the ball out to
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes. Like,
like,
you want to
chill,
keep the ball as
bro.
long as you can. No, it's I get that. And look, I get that that's probably going to be a big thing. But to me, it's like I really do think this team has been in recent years good enough to go to a Super Bowl. I just think it's unfortunate that they are peaking and they have this team that they do at the time that they are having to go up against a historically great like
Playoff team.
duo. Yeah, in the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, like nobody's gonna get past them. Like that's the thing that's like everybody wants to judge the Bills on their inability to beat the Chiefs. It's like judging the Rockets on their inability to beat the Warriors. It's like, hey, nobody's beating the Warriors. This just happens to be the team that keeps almost getting there. Like, and that's who the Bills are. Like nobody, Tom Brady's doing it and he's gone, and Joe Burrow did it once. Like, that's the only evidence we've seen of this team losing. And maybe Lamar and the Ravens have something to say about that this weekend. They are the better team. We'll see. But, like, I feel like people are too hard on Josh Allen and the Bills because they can't get past the Chiefs. It's like, if that's the standard, then yeah, nobody's ever gonna do that. Like that's just what it is. So I do think that the Bills, despite the fact that they lost, I do think they had several opportunities
They missed on quite a few.
and you know, they got lucky a few times. They got like that's fake.
That fumble.
They fumbled it and still recovered it. The Josh Allen fumble, if that's, I don't know if you're
Well,
talking about Patrick
I was
Mahomes.
talking about the Chiefs fumble in the end
In the
zone
back of the end zone, yeah.
because they were about to put that game
It was
away.
over. Yeah, it
That
was
was
gonna be
about to.
over. I agree.
Yeah, I forgot about the punt. Oh my God,
The
that
fake
punt.
punt just pissed me off. I was so mad at
On
that.
your own 30,
And
like,
you're
bro,
trying
you're
to pick
down
it,
three.
and it
Like,
was a fourth and five. Like, not a fourth and
chill.
two. It was a fourth and five. And they tried to pick it up with a
Damar
safety.
Hamlin,
Like,
like,
as that was such a brain dead, brain-lit decision. I was so annoyed by that. And then on the drive that they ended up almost tying it, Josh Allen fumbles it. Two Chiefs are in the area. Like, the ball's done. It's a turnover. And by miraculous happenings, the Bills recover that fumble and they keep it going. Like, you know, the Chiefs, as you said, fumbled it out of the back of the end zone. Their defense got a good stop at a good point where it could have ended a couple drives later. Like, the Bills had their opportunities to really to take this game away, and they just missed them. The stat that to me was the most amazing stat out of this game was the Chiefs had eight plays of 20 or more yards, and the Bills did not have a single one. That is just absurd.
Bro, you were better than them on third down. You were
Yeah.
50, they were 7 for 14, 50% on third down, while you held Kansas City to 1 for 5 on third down.
Yeah.
I mean,
And
you had the yards, you ran the ball, like.
yeah, they ran the ball well. And that's what I was going to say is like early on, they were the more like it was clear they were the physically superior team.
Yeah,
Like I
you saw it really early. It's like, okay, we're gonna run the ball with Josh.
and you can't stop us. And James Cook, and you're not going to be able to stop us. And I remember I was watching it and I was like, you know, oh, my bad, sorry. I remember watching it thinking, you know, this looks a lot like when the Bills played the Cowboys and how they were just like physically moving us. And then Tony Romo even made a comment. He's like, the Bills, this is looking like the Cowboy game where the Bills just kind of physically dominated them and, you know, got it done. And for whatever reason, they just stopped doing that. The Chiefs kind of got back on top of it and got their momentum back. And, you know, that's what the Chiefs do. I mean, you slip up ever so slightly against this team, like, they're going to beat you. And that's just who the Chiefs are. That's who they've been. Ended the Bills season 3 out of the last 4 years now. Did this one in Buffalo, which is just got to be heartbreaking. I mean, you know, this was kind of the year, right? It's like, if not now, then when? You got them at home. They're weaker than they've been. And I get it. The Bills were injured on defense.
They've lost quite a few people, but they figured it out
at the end of the season, though.
Yeah.
And man, it's got to be just really depressing. Like, I know the Cowboys, obviously, they're kind of that team that's like, man, name a more devastating way to lose a playoff game or circumstance to lose a playoff game. But right, Buffalo's right up there, dude. Buffalo's loss this year is right up there. So heartbreaking.
It is.
Yeah. As for the Chiefs,
they're doing it again. I'm really scared. Baltimore is our last hope.
Oh, I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but that's just a mean thing. I would be absolutely happy if Lamar went to a Super Bowl. Like, no issue there. I love the Ravens. I love Lamar. I love John Harbaugh, but I kind of like to see Patty get a third, you know?
I can get it next year. Do it next year. Not this year. All righty. That's the divisional roundup.
Woo.
Do some quick news here. Looks like John Harbaugh.
Jim
Harbaugh is coming back to the NFL. It's been announced. He has signed with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, oh boy. That's going to be fun next year. The AFC West is going to be so fun. Now,
finally,
Jim Harbaugh has been known to, you know, win wherever he goes. And funny enough, I saw a tweet earlier before we started recording. He is now coached. He's now coached for every team he's played for. So he used to play for Michigan. Back in the day, I think he played quarterback, and then he played quarterback for the Chargers as well.
I thought he played for the Colts.
He played for the Colts. I saw. I don't have it. I didn't save it, but I'm pretty sure I saw that. Like he played quarterback for the Chargers
as a player. Bears, Colts, Ravens, Chargers, Lions, Panthers, and yeah, now he's coaching the Chargers. I didn't know he played for the Chargers. That's cool.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's a great hire. I mean, it's a fantastic hire.
You got to fix that defense.
Yeah.
And
part of me wants to say, like, it might be a year before we really see this full potential just because of how strapped this team is and how much work that needs to be done. But, dude, he took over the 49ers in 2011. And the 49ers – in 2010, I'm pulling up their record. They went 6-10. Yeah, that's what I thought. About they went 6-10. Like, they were not a great team. And he came in and took them over, and they went to the NFC Championship year one. And I mean,
he has to play Patty twice this year.
And they were overtime away. And they were at home in the NFC Championship, and they went to overtime with the Giants and ended up losing because of a bad muffed punt. But, I mean, he was in the NFC Championship his first 3 years, all three, and he was in the Super Bowl year two. So, and with two different quarterbacks. He did it with Alex Smith, and then he did it with Colin Kaepernick. So, like, with Justin Herbert, I mean, you're going to really see this team flourish, at least offensively. Defensively, we'll have to see what happens. But I expect them to be really good. And here's one thing to keep an eye on is now a lot of coaches can't go from college to pro and be great, right? Like, we know that. Mm-hmm. But we know Jim Harbaugh can. Yeah. And the other thing that helps Jim Harbaugh, and this is a theory I have, and I don't know how real it is, but it's something I've always thought. We look at like Jimmy Johnson and how he goes from college to the NFL, and all of a sudden he's drafting all these amazing players and he's finding these hidden gems. And then Pete Carroll comes from USC to Seattle and he's drafting all these amazing gems and he's, you know, finding Richard Sherman in the fifth round. I think it's because those coaches are literally studying all the college players every week and they're recruiting and they know who's good and they know what's what and they know this player is a problem on this team that I play against every year and this player is good and this player is not good. And so there's like a few years where Jim Harbaugh is going to be able to have – he's going to have the inside scoop on every player in college football and everybody coming into the draft. And I think that's going to really bode well because I think he knows who's good and who's not. So I wouldn't be surprised if over the next couple of years, the Chargers are drafting some heavy hitters. So
They're going to need all of it.
I have confidence that this Chargers team it's going to be a quicker turnaround than we think. I know, again, you got to play Patty.
Yeah.
The Bengals are obviously good. CJ Stroud's there now. Trevor Lawrence is no schmuck. Josh Allen, the Dolphins are still a problem. You know, we'll see what happens with the Broncos. They could be a difficult challenge, but don't be surprised, man. I'm already going to say they're going to the playoffs. Like off the bat, I think they'll be in the playoffs. All right,
the 5-12 Chargers going to the playoffs next year. All right,
watch whatever that over under is. That over under is probably going to come out and be 9 wins.
It's probably over. Like eight. I'm saying over. Like eight and a half, nine wins.
Yeah, 8.5, 9 wins, 9.5. I'm going to bet the over. I think this is going to be an 11-win team. I think they could win a playoff game. Maybe not, but I think they're going to be a really formidable team, at least in the regular season. So great hire by the Chargers. They finally went out and did something they should have and didn't just go with this cheap, I'm going to go get this no-name coach and be shocked when it doesn't work.
What was it to say? Yeah. Sorry,
my bad.
No, you're good. I had something about it, but we will be getting, I think the Chargers play the Ravens next season, so that's going to be pretty fun.
Oh, really? I'm going to double check that.
Also, Miami plays Houston. Me and Luke talking about
the Cowboys also play Houston.
Real? Oh, nice.
So they're playing. So I think they play them in DFW. So I'm definitely going to be trying to make a trip out there to watch that with Luke. Maybe even some other people because I got a lot of Houston friends. So, but they do play. They do play the Ravens next year at home. So that's pretty awesome. So
we'll get a brother v brother game.
Fun times.
Let me see. The Eagles are on another offensive and defensive coordinator hunt.
Yeah, they need to be.
Man, that's just
Vic Fangio's gonna sign with them.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks, Jake, for spoiling it.
Oh my god,
no, you're good. Vic Fangio and the Miami Dolphins parted ways. It was funny. I happened to pull up Instagram, and I'm not usually on Instagram a lot, but I'll occasionally pull up Instagram, and I follow the Miami Dolphins Instagram account, and so one of the first posts I see is Mike McDaniel has a post about Vic Fangio. I'm like, wait, what happened? So I go to Twitter, and I'm like, oh, we parted ways. So yeah, looks like, and he's going to take over the defensive coordinator job at Philadelphia. So, I have no ill will toward Vic. I was surprised too, but it is what it is. I don't know if, you know, there was personnel issues and all that, if there was drama there or whatever, but I'm rooting for him. I had no ill wills toward Vic. Some questionable stuff here and there, but it is what it is. We had quite a few injuries, so I can't it's not all his fault. So
For the offensive coordinator, I'm sorry, were you gonna go into the offensive coordinator?
No, have they hired one yet?
No, but they did, they have interviewed a couple. They interviewed Cliff Kingsbury. Okay. No, look, I think there's a couple candidates out here that they should really look at. Number one on their list, if they can find a way to do it, they need to go get Eric Bieniemy. they need to do whatever they can to lure Eric away again.
It's a lateral move, though, because, like,
yeah, I don't know if it'll happen, but it'd be a pretty good get if they can do it. And then I also would like them to maybe pursue Frank Reich, you know, a return for Frank Reich. He's not employed right now, and he's a great offensive coordinator. Help them get to a Super Bowl.
Oh, coordinator.
Yeah, coordinator. Yeah, and then Josh McDaniels. Not bad. Josh McDaniels, good offensive coordinator, not a good coach, not a good head coach, but he's a good offensive coordinator. Now, he doesn't have any experience. It's not Tom Brady that, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess he was pretty good with Mac Jones' rookie year. But
yeah.
Kellen Moore, that would be hilarious if they got Kellen Moore, because everybody thinks Kellen Moore is amazing, and he's not that amazing. He's a very average offensive coordinator. And I tried to tell everybody that last year when the Cowboys got rid of it. It was like, they score so many points. It's like, okay. All right, sure. Guess what? Oh, what? How did the Cowboys struggle to score points this year? Oh, no, that's right. They led the league in points again. That's what they do. And then, those are the favorite ones. And Arthur Smith. I'd love to see them go get Arthur Smith. So those are a few coordinators that I think keep an eye out for. There's a couple others on this list that are, you know, lower profile. T. Martin, Clint Kubiak. You know, again, they've interviewed
Kubiak.
Kingsbury. Yeah, he's Gary Kubiak's son. So that'd be pretty cool. Joe Brady is on here.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo. Hey, Joe, they need to hold on to Joe Brady.
They need to hold on to Joe Brady.
Yeah, Daryl Bevel. There's a couple names, but those names to me, Frank Reich is probably got to be number one on your list. Like, go get Frank Reich. He took that offense to a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Like, so anyway, that's just what I have on that.
Titans hired Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan as their new head coach. So going from Mike Vrabel, defensive guy, to offensive guy to the Bengals, who I don't know how they did offensively, but I mean, Joe Burrow was injured most of that season, and Jake Browning had to take over. He had some good games here and there, so building around Will Levis, I don't hate that move. What do you think?
We'll see. It's kind of a we'll see. Like, on paper, this is what everybody does, right? They're like, I'm going to go find that young hotshot offensive coach that we can put in charge of our team and hopefully help our I will say this, you know, if they're serious about Will Levis, this was the right move. Yeah. You know, they would have got a young like offensive-minded coach.
Yeah, this was a Will Levis move, I think. So, like, hey.
I love that, but, you know, it's just so, like, look, he's been their offensive coordinator since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty good this year, minus Joe Burrow, like, solid, but you were coaching Joe Burrow. Like, you know, it's like we saw Adam Gase get two jobs.
Jay.
Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning swore by this dude.
We went 10-6 that year.
Yeah,
like, his first year.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, look, is it you or is it the elite quarterback you're coaching? You know what I mean?
I haven't seen Joe Burrow like, hey man, this Bill Callahan guy, this guy's serious. I ain't seen that. So it's a wait till you see.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but, like, am I going to bet that he's going to be better than Mike Vrabel? No.
Yeah.
No. So, good luck to Brian Callahan, though. I hope they turn it around and, you know, they field a pretty competitive team next year.
Raiders gave Antonio Pierce the head coaching job, which I agreed with. They also got Tom Telesco. Ex-Chargers, ex-Chargers executives as their new GM. So, I thought Antonio Pierce, the Raiders, they just, outside of what, Max Crosby, Devontae Adams, who had a down year this year, and that they were playing with Aiden O'Connell, a rookie, like, I think he inspired that team, and it was a very good locker room guy, so, you know, hopefully it's like another Dan Campbell situation. So, but
pretty cool.
They need to do a lot of work. They got a lot of work to do.
I mean, I just like, I feel like any other year I would have been fine with this move. I'd be like, yeah, he had a good interim coaching period. The guys in the locker room obviously responded to him. But to me, it's like when you have Harbaugh, Vrabel, and Belichick all on the market, like, you got to do your due diligence and do what you can. Like this is not just like a normal, you know, oh, well, yeah, we like what our guy did when our entire team decided to implode and our Henry Ruggs killed a woman and we had all these injuries and our coach got fired. You know, we like what that guy did, but we got to go get Josh McDaniels. You know, it's like, okay, that's not this. Like, you have three elite level coaches on the market. Like, to me, you just got to kick the tires on those. Like, it's the same thing with like, with even the Cowboys or the Eagles. It's like, look, I get it. If this was any other year, yeah, you probably hang on to Mike McCarthy. You probably hang on to Nick Sirianni. There's too many good. This is an insane coaching cycle. You have to do your due diligence and reach out to them. Like, so I'm happy for Antonio Pierce. Like,
I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him. You know, it's nice, like, just how he obviously rallied that locker room and the guys going to stump for him. Say, I think Max Crosby, the story is he was like, I'm going to want out of here if you give me any other coach that's not him. It's so, like, I mean, gotta so, like, I feel it. But I just really wish the Raiders had done more due diligence on trying to get one of these elite level coaches. And if they couldn't get it, it's like, okay, we have a really good coaching candidate that we believe in. But this is just different. This is a different year, you know? This ain't just ordinary, well, we could get Josh McDaniels. You know, so that was my thoughts, but good for Antonio Pierce. Congrats to him. I loved watching him play. No, I really didn't, because he played for the Giants, and whenever I was watching him play, I was having to root against him, but I respected him as a player, and he was a great player, and he seems to be a great coach, so happy for him.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up news. I don't think I saw really any other news there. Well, Jake, I guess – oh! Before we get into your rankings, yeah. I got my rankings here. We got four teams left, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. And yeah, four teams left for this for the conference championship game. Excuse me. Number four, starting at the bottom. Number four, I got the Detroit Lions, weakest team here. They're the only team that, you know, hasn't been here yet. It's a whole new thing for the Lions. I'm rooting for them, obviously, against 49ers, even though the 49ers were my Super Bowl pick. But, yeah, it's just the novice factor. You know, it's now in the game for the Super Bowl. So, hopefully they, you know, they play their hearts out, which I think they will. Just above them, I got the 49ers. There, look, wasn't great against Green Bay. It was raining, so I'll give you a benefit of the doubt. They did lose Debo, but we'll see. I'm seeing he doesn't have a fracture in his shoulder, so he might play in this game. They're gonna need him, in this game here. But I got the 49ers at number three, number two. The Kansas City Chiefs. It felt weird. I wanted to put the Niners over them, but
yeah, that was the only question.
After that Buffalo win, it's like, what now? Patrick Mahomes has only lost to Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. Those are the only two. Cool. We'll see if Lamar can be added to that list this on Sunday, but. So far, if your name's not Tom Brady or Joe Burrow, you're not beating Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And then number one, I got the Baltimore Ravens.
Of course.
Very good vibes, you know. I said it'd be close against Houston. And that first half, I felt good. But they took care of business in that second half and, you know, showed everyone, like, okay, this is not the same old Baltimore Ravens team. And, you know, they got that win there. And now you're at home. in front of your crowd. You know, weather is not a factor, but you know, it's your stadium, your fans. Like, John Harbaugh knows how, has been to the Super Bowl, winning coach, very good coach. You know, I think Lamar's focus, you know, that defense is very, very good. They're the only team, they're the only defense now that what, like, they were number one in sacks, scoring defense, and something else.
Turnovers, pressure rate, I don't know.
Something like that. Kansas City was their defense was also second, to be fair, in like most of those categories as well. So, but Baltimore was the whatever. Yeah, that's the rankings. So, Lions, 49ers, Chiefs, Ravens. That's how I got it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, somebody's got to be last place on this list, but it's like, it's the top four teams. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like any of these teams would have been happy. Maybe not the Ravens and 49ers, but like, if you had told the Lions and Chiefs, hey, top four this week, you'd be like, great, we're top four, awesome. And now it's like, what do you mean we're below the, you know? So, no, I mean, yeah, I think the only kind of thing I had was what you said you struggled with, right? Like, should the Chiefs be above the Niners? Should the Niners be above the Chiefs? Like, it feels like you go either way, but I do think the Lions at four are probably good. I think the Ravens at one is clear.
You're 2-3. Yeah, you can just.
Yeah, it's you're at the point now where any of these teams could be in the Super Bowl, and that's really what the championship round is. Sometimes you have a 9-7 Titans team sneak in, and it's like, what are y'all doing here?
How'd y'all get here?
They lose. But this is, you know, real talk. These are probably the four teams that it should be, and that's a nice feeling when you can look up and say these probably are the four best teams in football this year. So I'm a fan of it. Yeah, I really don't have any other critiques.
All right. Well, Jake, how did you do in the divisional round?
Not great. We went 1-3. No. 1-2. 1-2.
1-2.
Okay. Yeah. So we had the Ravens or the Texans plus the points, which looked great at halftime, and obviously the bottom fell out. And then we had the 49ers -9, and they barely held on. We did have the Chiefs plus 2.5 against the Bills. It's walking money. Like, you just take it. So that's where we're at. So this week we're picking both the games, and then we'll pick the Super Bowl, and that will be our 100th. That'll be 100 games on the year. We are currently sitting at 50-47. So best good news is we are going to, at the very least, be half and half. If we bottom out this week and on Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to be 50-50. We can still go 53-47, which would just barely be profitable, but it would be profitable. So I'd be happy with that, considering this is the first year that we have had. I've done this as like a full season and you know, kept track of it. And I consider that a success if we can get to 53. So we got to go 3-0, though. So let's go 2-0 this week. So first one. You even got to ask. It's 3.5. Look, I've thought a lot about it, because to me, it's like, well, you know, the Ravens are the better team and they're at home. It's like, look, if I bet against the Ravens and they win, I can live with it. Be like, good job, Baltimore. You did it. Proud of you. Awesome. I'll take the hit. If I bet against Patrick Mahomes as an when he's getting 3.5 points and Patrick Mahomes wins, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be throwing up, because it's going to be like, well, no, duh. Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever bet against Patrick Mahomes in this spot when he's getting points? Like, why? That's just foolish. So I'm going to take the trend. Take Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to take the bet that I can live with. If I bet Patrick Mahomes and I lose, fine. I'm good with it. You know, I'm cool with it. I know most of the time that's going to hit and I'm going to make money. If it doesn't hit, that's fine. I'm not about to buck that trend now because of what the paper says. So Chiefs plus 3.5. All right. 49ers, Lions. This one, I'll tell you what.
What is it,
it's 7 the last time I saw it.
Okay.
Is it still 7?
Checking on ESPN. Yeah, it's 7. That's okay. High. That's high.
This is very, very hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And quite honestly, I still don't feel like I have a read on it. This may be one that I have to...
Yeah, until Sunday.
Yeah, this may be one, and I'm kind of also waiting to hear the news on Debo.
Yeah.
This may be one I have to, like, give a post out to finalize. I'll make the pick here, and if you don't hear back from me, that's the pick I rode with.
Mm-hmm.
But I will make a post if I've changed my mind. Right now, I'm leaning Lions plus the points.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to San Fran.
I was gonna
pick Detroit plus the points.
I'm leaning Lions plus the points. The weather's going to be really good, so I don't think Jared Goff's going to have a problem.
Yeah.
I think the Lions can run the ball. They can play physical. They have a great run defense, which matches up well against the 49ers. They have a good pass rush, which matches up well against the 49ers. That secondary, very, very sus. Very concerning. I could see if the 49ers can find a way to get Brock Purdy some time, he could just tear apart that secondary. So there's a lot of, and of course we know what the 49ers have done. You know, they blew out the Cowboys, they blew out the Eagles, but they have been beat convincingly a few times this year. They got beat against the Bengals. They obviously got blown out against the Ravens. Kirk Cousins picked them apart, you know. So I think it's a good spot for the Lions. I don't think the Lions are going to be intimidated. I don't think the 49ers are going to be able to bully them. I think it will just really come down to if Jared Goff can get going against this defense. And if he can, I think they really do have a good chance at not only being in this game, but winning this game outright. So give me the Lions plus the points.
Okay. So we got... you got Kansas City plus 3.5 and Detroit plus 7. I was gonna go Detroit plus. I thought you were gonna go San Fran.
I really was not sure. Like, I'm lean. It's a lean, but it's not. I very well could change my mind before we go. So I'll let you know.
All right. Well, last thing we gotta do is pick these games. We got two of them, conference championships games happening this Sunday. The first one at 2:00 CBS, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on the call. Yeah. Kansas City at Baltimore, Jake. What do you got?
Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Give me my homeboy. Give me the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs.
It's going to be, it could happen. You know, it's happened. We've seen it happen before, but Patrick Mahomes has lost two AFC championship games, and both of them took until overtime to beat him. I trust them more. And, like, I get that the Ravens, what they present, and they are the better team, and the Ravens should win, and they should be favored in this game. But, you know, and I do think the Ravens actually match up well with what the Chiefs are trying to do. But I just seen this song and dance before. I've seen Patrick Mahomes overcome, and I have confidence that he will find a way to do it again. So give me the Chiefs.
I'm going Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a good pick. It's the right pick. Like, it is.
I mean, it kind of, but in a way, like, Kansas City is like the better pick because just all what represents. But I mean, I thought Buffalo showed quite a good recipe to beat this team. You got to run the ball, which Baltimore, that's kind of like their favorite thing to do. And they're pretty good at it. They're pretty decent. Number one in the league in rushing. Yeah, all right. Then you're going to have to run the ball. Lamar, don't give them extra possessions, so don't turn the ball over like that. Be smart and special teams wise. And, you know, defensively, don't let Travis Kelce get going. Don't let Pacheco get going, more importantly. And, you know, don't let Travis start eating you up. I can look if Rashee Rice wants to come out here and ball out like he goddamn Jerry Rice, then and so be it. Like if Rashee Rice wants to come out here and go for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, and you lose, I would be so happy with. Well, I'd be pissed if I was a Ravens fan, but I'd be okay with that. I think that is what they're preaching in, you know, their meetings right now. We cannot let Pacheco get going, and do not let Travis Kelce get going. If the other guy, if
Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches a 40-yard pass on us, is what it is.
It is what it is. If Scantling wants to ball out, if Kadarius Toney, if he's playing in this game, he wants to ball out, like, fine, guys. If they're going to have historic games this game, then it is what it is. But those are the two main things. Just Pacheco, keep Pacheco in check, and Travis Kelce, keep him in check as well. And I think you got a pretty good shot. Obviously don't turn the ball over. Special teams, I don't think we're going to see any late game, you know, fourth down calls in your own territory by John Harbaugh. So I think they'll be smart defensively. But it's going to be a dogfight. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy, Baltimore. This is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. Expecting a blowout, expecting a very close, nitty-gritty type game. So very excited for Sunday.
Oh, and it's going to take both teams. I mean, whoever plays, both teams are going to be – then margins are going to be thin for both teams. Baltimore can run it up on you quick, but the Chiefs also just – they hang around. And
I mean, Patrick Mahomes,
they're never out of it.
Buffalo dominated that time of possession in that game. And
yep.
Kansas City still found a way to win. So
last note.
Go ahead.
Marlon Humphrey and Mark Andrews might both be back in this game too for the Ravens.
Oh, that is huge. I forgot Mark Andrews because he didn't play in Houston, which I don't know, they really need him. But this one, that's pretty huge.
It's a big deal. So
even if he's not even like, you know, if he's like 85%, like you just have him on decoys and stuff like that. And Kansas City is gonna have to prepare for that specifically. So yeah.
That big note there. But anyway, that's where we're at.
No, I forgot about that. And then on Fox at 5:30. So, another good crew. Great crew. All right. We're getting, what's his name?
Greg Olson and,
it's on Fox.
Yeah. Greg Olson's on Fox.
He's on Fox. I thought we were. They do ESPN. They used to do.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of
Troy and Chubb.
Yeah, that's
no
who I was,
Troy.
That's what I was thinking of. Oh yeah, they don't do Fox. Okay, I like Greg Olson and the other guy. I forget his name.
I wish off the top of my head I was not forgetting his name. I'm kind of annoyed I did. I can. It's gonna bother me if I don't remember it.
You're good. I like those guys. So yeah, we got the Detroit Lions Kevin Burkhardt going up against the San Fran 49ers at home. Weather is looking pretty good since Santa Clara. So Jake, who do you got in this one?
Man, this is a tough one. Because my head is telling me I know who to pick, but my heart is telling me something else.
Dude, same. Because
I really want the Lions to win this game.
Same. I think I'm going to go 49ers, but, dude, I will be rooting for
– I'm going Lions.
Nice. I don't hate that. I'm going to pick 49ers. They were my Super Bowl pick.
You have to. Yeah, you got to ride with them.
Yeah. But I am rooting for the Lions so hard. I want to see the Lions go to the Super Bowl. That'd be pretty awesome. Then Detroit is going to go up in flames.
You can't really lose, actually, because if the Chiefs and the 49ers win, your Super Bowl prediction came true.
No, I picked. Did I pick the Chiefs for the Super Bowl?
I thought you picked Chiefs Niners and I picked Chiefs Cowboys.
I think I did go Chiefs Niners again. I did. I think I did. Wow.
So Chiefs Niners, your Super Bowl pick came true.
Damn. I'd be sad. I'm like, I didn't. I was a younger Christian. This was before the season started. Now this Christian, he's different. He's different.
Well, now you're like, shit, we got Lamar. Lamar can go.
Lamar can go.
The Lions can go.
Like, yeah,
I want to be dead wrong. I want to be dead. I want Ravens Lions, and I want Chiefs Lions. But Ravens Lions.
I also want to disprove that stupid.
Agreed.
That Super Bowl conspiracy theory, about the logo. Which I mean, it's pretty crazy that it's matched both teams, but I don't believe in it. I don't believe the NFL's rigged. And
it also doesn't matter because. If the Ravens beat the Chiefs, if the Ravens win, logo, just right. But if the Chiefs win, it's, of course, they want Patty in the Super Bowl so they can look at Taylor Swift. And, you're not going to escape it. Whoever wins, it's obviously rigged in their favor. So you can't escape it.
So you're going Lions, we're going 49ers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm expecting this to be a very good game as well. Rooting for the Lions, obviously. But, hey, it is what it is. All right.
So you got Ravens, Niners, and I got
Ravens, Niners,
Chiefs, Lions,
which will be another Super Bowl rematch.
It will be.
Funny enough.
Yeah.
Can't
only yeah. The only way we don't get a Super Bowl rematch is if the Lions win.
Yeah. Can't wait for this Sunday. Pretty excited for it, and also bittersweet. I was thinking about this today. I was like, all right, we're recording today. And it's like, man, we got Sunday because we don't have a Saturday game. So we got like this Sunday. Then after this week, it's the Pro Bowl that no one's going to watch. And then after that, that's it. And then we got to wait till September.
Yeah, it makes me really sad. Mm-hmm. I just love football.
I'm moving on to basketball. I'm thinking about going to a Mavericks game. So basketball's,
keep us alive.
Basketball keep us alive. That'll be
summer,
July. Yeah. Baseball will be coming in. I'll get to go to Rangers games again. They just won the World Series, so that's gonna be.
And then it's August.
It's August, so
we're back.
All right. Well, we'll sign off.
All right, everybody. Take it easy. Catch y'all at the next one.
Thank you.
Have a championship weekend, everybody. Seriously, just enjoy it. Don't get mad at whatever happens is what's going to happen. Just take time and enjoy it because the season is at its end.
It's coming to a conclusion.
So, all right.
Have a great rest of your weekend.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.